Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overduun, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
This first Banner of Truth broadcast for 2015, dear friends, we will look at three pictures that Peter gives us describing true Christians. We find these three pictures in 1 Peter 2, verses 1 to 12, where Peter three times compares Christians to something else using the little word as. Let me first read that passage to you. See if you can catch the phrases. 1 Peter 2, verse 1 to 12. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom, coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Did you catch it? God's people are as newborn babies, verse 2, as lively stones, verse 5, and as strangers and pilgrims, verse 11. Let's look at one picture at a time, and at the end, at all three altogether. The first picture speaks of Christians being as newborn babies. But what does Peter mean with this picture? We need to notice the picture Peter gives actually only focuses on one characteristic of babies. And what is that? It is the fact of an infant's ongoing thirst and hunger for more milk, more food. Isn't this common to almost all babies? On a regular basis, a newborn child cries out for food. Really, the picture of our text is of a baby on his mother's breast, enthusiastically drinking with contentment, and regularly, 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day, and at night time too, looking for more. As newborn babies, exhorts Peter to the believers in his day, as newborn babies desire or crave for the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. You see, the focus of this picture is with the appetite of the baby. As a baby has constant appetite for his mother's milk, so we, whoever confesses God's name and confesses to be a Christian, ought to have a constant appetite for the sincere milk, or the pure, literally unadulterated food of God's word. Indeed, this is what describes the true believer, says Peter, an ongoing hunger and thirst for the word of God. Is this picture one you picture in your life? Dear friends, does your life portray an unceasing longing to be fed by God's word? Are you one who just cannot live without feeding on the gospel tidings day by day and week by week, and especially on the Lord's days? This baby picture, hungry for more, isn't just for new Christians or young Christians, but it should be the picture of even the most mature and long-term Christian. Yes, all our lives, in fact, if it is well. Let us look closer at the picture of believers being as newborn babies and notice some other truths that can be learned from this inspired picture. We should ask, for one thing, why does Peter speak of desiring or longing for the sincere milk or pure unadulterated milk of the word? Two words are used in the original here, describing the milk as real, as genuine. And isn't Peter emphasizing with this then, feed daily on the true and whole word of God, and do so in spirit and truth? What can so easily happen, also with believers, is that you focus just on certain scriptures, on the parts you can swallow and that you like perhaps, but you leave out other parts that you really ought to digest as well, if you would grow and develop as God's children in this world. Peter is saying we need to take in the whole word, and that whole word of God is pure and good. It is that which can feed the soul and cause you to grow and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in knowing him and reflecting him. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, says Paul in 2 Timothy 3:16, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is, grow into complete maturity, thoroughly furnished or equipped unto all good works. Just as milk is the reasonable and best food for babies, so God's word in all its fullness is the best and only right spiritual food for God's people. Again and again, we must drink and draw from that source, the holy word of God, the inspired scriptures, which reveal to us in both the Old and New Testament, in the 66 books, the blessed gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel called also the bread and water of life, more to be desired than gold, and sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb, as we read in Psalm 19, verse 10. To desire the sincere milk, the gospel food of the word, with appetite, what is very important is that sins not be allowed in our lives. It is here where verse 1 is an important part of the picture that Peter gives. The verb lay aside in verse 1 is connected with the action verb of verse 2, desire the sincere milk of the word. You could translate desire the sincere milk, laying aside other negative things. In other words, says Peter, except you lay aside and put off from you all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, you won't really have the constant appetite for the word as you might and should. That is, not putting these evils away from you, you won't readily and repeatedly desire either God's word as your daily food and drink. Doesn't every true Christian know this is so true, if we are honest? You won't have and you don't have and you can't have a hunger for God's word when you are dwelling on things and indulging in things in contradiction to the word. Even as a baby in real life, an infant child, when distracted with noise or other negative things, won't proceed to drink, but often hesitates and fusses. So indulging in sin, in conduct or doctrine, in any way at all, diminishes hunger for the pure milk, the real food of God's word. This is what Peter is telling us. If we drink from the word and the world at the same time, or from the Savior and from Satan both, we won't grow in grace and Christ-likeness, but instead, we will wilt in depravity and deformity in one way or another, and more and more. We need to notice, too, that Peter doesn't say you have to put off the evils of verse 1 before desiring God's word and drinking it in. No, verse 1 and 2 go together and work together. That's what Peter is saying. Truly craving and drinking from God's word goes together with putting off sin and evil. When once we have tasted that the Lord is gracious to sinners like us, as revealed in his word, most gracious through the gospel of Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior, oh, then this should become your and my picture, that you are someone who never can have enough of God's Word in your life. Are you reflecting this picture of Christian grace in your life? When you and I picture in our lives this picture Peter gives us here, the Bible doesn't stay closed by us then, does it? But every day you want to open it and prayerfully read from it. Then too, attending church regularly where God's Word is opened and preached from faithfully is a priority matter for you. When this first picture of our text is your picture, you will attend a Bible-based church faithfully, if at all possible, and you will come with longing and eagerness even to worship and learn from God's Word every week again. It is the evidence and exercise of true spiritual life, hungering and thirsting after God's Word. A picture God's people are called to picture. Look like newborn babies in your spiritual appetite, drinking in the Word, says Peter, that you may grow thereby. Is this a picture you reflect and care to reflect? Can it be well with you when it is not so? No, it can't be. But when it may be so, oh, that promises true blessing. Let us move on to the second picture Peter gives us. God's people, he shows us in our text passage, are not only to be like newborn babies in spiritual appetite, but we are to be as lively stones too, or living stones being built up into a spiritual house, that we might be a holy priesthood, offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Again, how much Peter says in the verses 4 to 10 about this all, really. But let us just focus now on this picture of being lively, living stones in God's house. What does Peter mean with this picture? The context of verse 5 helps to understand the meaning of God's people as lively, living stones. And Peter is thinking here in terms of the temple and of being God's temple, his part of his spiritual temple. The temple in Jerusalem was made of great stones, but that temple and the stones thereof were lifeless. In Matthew 24, Jesus had told his disciples those great stones of the temple would all come crashing down one day soon, as happened in 70 AD. But now Jesus Christ, through whom God came to tabernacle with men, through whom the true and living temple of God is built, by which Peter means God's church and kingdom, we are called to be lively stones in that temple. Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone and the rock of salvation upon which his church is built. Many Old Testament texts could be cited for telling Christ is the living stone, the rock of ages, for the building of his church. In Isaiah 28, verse 16, for instance, as Peter refers to here, God foretold, "Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation." And in Psalm 118, verse 22, he speaks of the rejected stones that would be the cornerstone of God's spiritual temple. Jesus Christ, the Savior, is the living stone, by whom and through whom and upon whom his church is built. And now, says Peter, to the believers in his day, be lively stones, that is, living members in God's temple, and be involved and by God's grace an integral part of the building up of God's spiritual house, ever offering up spiritual sacrifices by Christ Jesus as a holy priesthood. Be lively stones, as opposed to dead weights in God's church. That's what Peter calls for. That is what God's people should be, living stones in God's temple, each having their own place and function in the whole building of God's spiritual house, and together rendering offerings of praise and service to God's honor and glory, and for our neighbor's good. Lively stones in God's temple. Is that what you are? Or more like dead weight? By nature, we are all lifeless, dead and cold stones, spiritually speaking. But when God works the miracle of regeneration and we are led to Christ, a living stone for our salvation and hope and help, oh, then that makes even the hardest, deadest and coldest of sinners into living stones in God's spiritual house. Peter brings out, you can be living stones only by always coming to Christ, the living stone, and ever depending on Him and drawing from Him. Verse 4 relates this, doesn't it? It is in coming to Christ and being joined to Him in true faith that as lively stones you also can be built up a spiritual house and an holy priesthood in holy royal service to our God. Without Christ, we aren't lively stones. And without Christ and coming to Him, we can't be and won't be as lively stones in God's temple. Doesn't the Apostle Paul teach us the same when he writes in Ephesians 2 about the household of God and all the living members thereof, that they are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone? Jesus, the crucified and risen Savior, though rejected and despised by so many, yet He is the one in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit, as Paul says further. Lively stones in God's house through Jesus Christ and faith in Him, that is what Peter calls God's people to be and to show. You can't be lively stones apart from Christ. That is most certain. How true what one wrote in this regard. And I quote, "The religion taught in the New Testament, of which our text is a fair specimen, is that Christ is all in all. Christianity, it is His religion. It is all by Him, and it is all about Him. He is the author and its substance. Everything in the Christian faith and in the Christian life and in the Christian church is viewed in connection with Christ, the Savior, given by God the Father and made known to us by the Holy Spirit. Every doctrine and every precept, every privilege and every duty, every promise and every judgment relates to Him, Christ Jesus. Yes, Christ is made of God to men, wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification and redemption. And He alone, is the foundation for all His church in all ages, and other foundation can no man lay." End of quote. Oh, you agree, don't you, how our text makes this so very plain, what this quote just said. And it tells most somberly too, doesn't it, those who reject Christ as the only Savior and foundation stone for all our salvation cannot be saved. In fact, if you should continue in unbelief against Christ, you will be crushed under the weight of His righteous and just judgment, even with eternal punishment in hell. I pray no one listening will gloss over this gospel truth. In fact, if you don't come to Christ, the living stone, in true faith and repentance, you never will become lively stones in His spiritual and eternal kingdom. Even if you should be members of some church and even have a high position in the church, if you are not joined to Christ by true faith, you are yet unsaved. Christ is still calling by His word and Spirit for all to come to Him in spirit and truth. But if you will not, then you will perish forever in your sins. No one listening now can say you have not been earnestly forewarned about this. And why? Why would you perish, dear friends? No, but come to the Savior and make no delay. Maybe you ask, why, when speaking of the picture of God's people as lively stones, do you emphasize so Jesus, the living stone? And the answer is because that is what Peter does too in the text. And this is what characterizes God's people, you see, as lively stones in His temple. God's people as living stones in God's house, they throb with love and devotion for Christ. And unto them who believe, as Peter says in verse 7, He is precious. When lively stones in God's house, then Christ is most precious to you, and His people, His church, and His gospel cause of primary importance and top priority in all of life. To all unbelievers, Christ is not precious. And His cause, His church, and His kingdom is not foremost and uppermost then in their lives. No, but so much of this world and of self then has the center stage in your life and the focus of your attention. But again, living that way, you will stumble and fall and ultimately come to destruction. However, the way of life and fullness of life is being as lively stones in God's house and temple, for now and forevermore. Are you not most interested in this as well? Then let me ask each of you, as lively stones in God's temple. That's the second picture of God's people that Peter gives us. Our text describing God's true people as lively stones being built up a spiritual house goes against the idea that you can be a true and healthy Christian just on your own, by yourself. It speaks against the notion that you don't need others in your life and that you can do without the church. Some think and promote this wrong idea, teaching that you can be a good believer and a true and fruitful Christian without the communion of saints and apart from corporate worship. But Peter, led by the Holy Spirit, teaches us here otherwise, along with so many other scriptures as well. When someone says they are a Christian, but they don't go to church and don't need church, they are simply living a lie, and very likely not truly saved at all. True Christians show the pictures Peter gives and calls for in our text passage. Are you as a lively stone in God's house? That's the calling for God's people. This is the picture we are called to reflect and picture in our lives, also in this new year, 2015. Is this the picture you want developing in your life, being as lively stones in God's spiritual house, helping the church to be always the pillar and ground of the truth, and a bright light in a world full of sin and misery, confusion and darkness? With that question, I want yet to turn to the third picture Peter gives in our text passage. God's people are called to be as newborn babies with hungry spiritual appetite for God's word always, and called to be as lively stones in God's temple in true and endless worship of God. And then also, says Peter in verse 11, we are to be as strangers and pilgrims in this world. The word strangers means literally in the Greek to live beside your house. And the term pilgrims means literally living as resident aliens for the time being. In other words, God's people are called to live in this world, being in it, but not of it. And as people more passing through this world to the eternal city to come, than people all caught up in what this world gives us and offers to us. We are, when it is well, to be a people conscientious. Here is not our home, but we look to the eternal city and the eternal life in the new heavens and the new earth promised by God for all his people. God's people are to have their treasures and expectation not in the things of this life, but in the heavens where Christ is. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth, exhorts Paul to the Christians in Colossae, in Colossians chapter 3. So Peter makes clear, as strangers and pilgrims, not only must our mindset and our goals be different than this world, having an heavenly and eternal and godly perspective on this life, compared to an earthly, temporal, and self-centered perspective, but also we are called to live blamelessly before men and before God, in submission to all God's law and will. What is clear too from verse 9 is that as strangers and pilgrims on this earth, God's people have a calling to show forth the praises of our Savior God, who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light when truly saved. In other words, as you and I live this life, it should be clear by the way we live that Christ is our Lord, heaven is our home, the lost is our burden, and the gospel cause is our top priority, and the Bible always our guide and final authority. And is that the way it is in your life, dear friends, by God's grace? How many, isn't it true, are the temptations and distractions and allurements to get all settled and comfortable in this world and to become more or less like the world around us and to fail to be strangers and pilgrims, as Peter calls you and me to be? The Lord calls us to not just be different than this world, but to be a light in this world and a positive Christian influence and voice in this world. And again, how wonderful that what the Lord calls for through Peter, he also promises to grant us as we follow him and his word. None of these three pictures are we called to develop and demonstrate in our lives, to picture to others in our own strength and by our own resources and resolve. No, but it is in abiding in Christ and staying with his word and being Christ's followers and members of his body and his church that we can and will be what Peter also calls God's people to be then and still now. Pictures we are called to picture, being as newborn babies in spiritual appetite, as lively stones in God's church and kingdom, and as pilgrims and strangers in this world. Do you and will you, by God's grace, picture these three pictures in your life? Peter would tell us this is what true Christianity is really all about. Are you convinced and convicted of this as well? Let us not promote an ungodly view of being a Christian, but the scriptural view, the only faithful and right perspective always. This brings me to the last point I would just mention briefly, considering all these three pictures together. Pictures God's people are called to picture. As I close, isn't it important and helpful, dear friends, to mention, while having looked at the three pictures Peter gives of the Christian life, how crucial to realize and reflect these pictures also belong together. That is, you can't have the one, really, without the other. Do you acknowledge this with me? How the three pictures are connected and belong together? Do you reflect this reality in your life as well, personally, and as families? For sure, if even one of these pictures is not duplicated and developed and developing in your and my life, then the whole threefold picture we are called to picture will be blurred and blotted, so that no clear picture of the Christian life is given at all. Will we each take this as seriously as we should then, especially when confessing yourself to be a true Christian? And will you seek to be as newborn babe, in hunger for God's word, as lively stones in God's church and kingdom, and as strangers and pilgrims in this world, living to God's praise? Oh, even so, dear friends, a blessed new year, really, to you all. Amen.
Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.